This is the Rich Eisen Show. Happy Halloween.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's your assessment of Brock Purdy? Where are the turnovers coming from?
He's forcing, you know, he's okay. Trying to make too big a plays.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, and now... It's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And we are live on the Roku channel. Free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TVs, also on Amazon Fire TV. It's free. It's free on the Roku app. It is free at the RokuChannel.com as well. For those who are listening on Sirius XM Odyssey, and more. For those who might be listening later on our podcast, it is Halloween, and I am dressed as an overtired father of three. It is a great costume. It's something that, you know, I'm very proud of. I've been working on it quite a bit. And so, you know, you're welcome to everyone out there that says, wow, you look just like an overtired father of three. Meanwhile, Chris Brockman wasn't dressed like this. He's now shown up as Spider-Man from the Spideyverse. Good to see you over there. How are you, Chris?
Can you hear me in this thing?
Yeah, it's, you're good. It's
you're
not
good.
Great.
You're good.
It's not great.
And I also realize I can't type because I have this spandex suit on.
Yeah, it's not...
I didn't plan this out.
It's not optimum. Yeah. It's not optimal. But hey, good to see you. You are definitely... Spider-Man.
Miles Morales.
Pardon me. Yeah. Good to see you. Mike Del Tufo is dressed as a guy who wears nothing but stuff he gets for free.
That's a yes. I'm
impressive
swag
costume.
Swag man.
Swag man. I've got swag. Spider-Man and Swag man.
Swag man.
Okay. Into the Swaggyverse. Very good.
It's pretty funny.
Good thank job, you. Man. Yay, listen, for stuff I had no idea you guys were doing.
At least
TJ put on his costume about 15 minutes ago. Who are you today, TJ?
Little Jon Snow. What? Little Jon Snow. Yeah! Okay!
That's well done.
Yeah,
that's well done. And for those, again, listening on the radio, TJ, you're wearing a Falcons jersey because who are you as well?
Well, it's Jon Snow mixed with Lil Jon.
Yeah.
So I'm Lil Jon Snow. Yeah. You dig.
You're the king of the South.
King of the South. Yeah.
Talk.
Okay.
Wow. This is actually happening.
From the window to
that's
the
really
wall.
Funny.
Yeah.
And congratulations, TJ. You still have James Harden in your world.
Yeah, I can't get rid of him, Rich.
Are you going to keep those teeth in this entire...
you should.
This entire
that,
3 hours?
Sound great.
It's not great.
I'm going to see how my boy... Yeah, probably not.
I can't see anything. Hold up some fingers, type. Rich. I can't even see
you. You don't want me to hold up the finger I want to hold up.
What is happening?
He can't type.
I can't type either. The spandex on the gloves, I can't move my mouse pad.
Yeah, stick them in the Spideyverse.
No, I have no stick them.
Oh. Okay. There we go. Reveals it's really Chris Brockman.
It's me.
There you go. Well done. Great way to start. Great way to start the show. It's got energy. It's got production value.
Let me real.
It's got moves. It's got feeling.
It's got motion, yeah.
You might have to take the teeth out unless you'll be like that poor Jet fan a few weeks ago. It'll just come out right in the middle.
On its own.
Okay. I won't talk too much today.
Oh, no, don't. No. Don't do that.
TJ.
So, very good. Everybody's got costumes. It's wonderful and great. Hey. You know who's not laughing today? Devontae Adams. He's not laughing today.
Oh, my gosh. He's so mad.
Devontae Adams not laughing at all. I spoke to him on Friday, and the contents of that conversation still sitting on our YouTube feed. And he said he was, you know, when I asked him point blank if he was happy being a Raider, he started his answer with, well, I'll just say this. Words that you don't normally have. Like, if you just ask Sarah... You know, if Sarah asks you, are you happy in this relationship? And you start the answer with, well, I'll just say this.
Oh, gosh.
It's not going to go well for you.
Oh, no.
I would proffer to say the same thing. If Susie, are you happy with this relationship? And I'll be like, well, I'll just say this.
It was like Tom Brady. Are you a cheater? Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so. It's just, that's not the way you start an answer when you're asked about a relationship. And sure enough, he's basically saying he loves the guys, he loves being there, loves being around the guys, and that he made a decision to be there, and he's not a guy that regrets anything, and he's not a guy that's going to, you know, demand a trade and anything like that. But you got to wonder how he's feeling right now after all of that. And the Raiders, according to Tom Pelissero on Sunday's NFL Game Day morning, that they had a clearing of the air meeting with coaches and players all together, and everybody spoke from various parts of the roster, stars and also guys closer to the 53rd man on the roster, all got things out there and cleared their, you know, minds and got things off their chest, and we got that last night. Oof. A 26-14 loss. Look, it's the Lions are a terrific football team.
Yeah.
And the Lions came off of a dreadful loss themselves and their first Monday nighter at home in a half a decade. You knew Dan Campbell would have them all stirred up and that they'd give their best effort in that situation. And, you know, the 14 points that we saw, one good drive and then a pick six from Marcus Peters, and that's all she wrote. And then we saw Devontae Adams. He could have had last night, had Jimmy Garoppolo found him on wide open passes, could have had a night to the tune of about 180 yards and two touchdowns. Instead, it was one catch for 11. He did not corral a third down pass late in the game when it was 16-14 in the third quarter. And it led to a turnover on downs, and the ball was not thrown perfectly to him. He just didn't get, I mean, at one point, the Raiders turned over the Lions, and then Garoppolo's next pass into the end zone, way short of Devontae Adams. Two guys on the Lions could have had it. Mm-hmm. It was a dreadful night for Garoppolo. Bad decision-making all around, including, hey, Garoppolo running for a first down. It was rightfully called by Troy Aikman on the replay. Amir Abdullah, instead of being there as an outlet for a scrambling quarterback, he turned around, thought Garoppolo was going to run, and started blocking for Garoppolo, who then now had to officially take off. But he turned his back towards the contact. And it's like, bro, weren't you in the hospital for this just like 6 days ago? Like, what are you doing? And it's just, you know, but that's been Garoppolo his entire career. Remember, he didn't go out of bounds and he wound up blowing out his knee. And that's Jimmy G. That's what you're going to get with Jimmy G. You're going to get some really good throws. You're going to get some stellar games. And then you're going to get clunkers. And you're going to get moments where he's turnover prone, or moments like last night when he airmailed his receiver in Devontae Adams, his all-world great receiver, who is desperate for a big game. It is now five straight games for him without 75 yards catching, which is one of the longest stretches of his entire career like that. And here we are on a trade deadline day. And this is what Devontae Adams had to say after the game last night.
Honestly, I don't know what to say at this moment. I truly don't. I wish I had the words to, you know, to say something that's not going to get blown up in the media and taken out of context. So I'm going to just, I just don't know.
I mean, that's a wise decision on his part, because I think if he said his inner monologue, it would definitely be spun up.
Well, we saw him slam his helmet on the sideline. And
yeah, we did. So I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I've got a top five.
No.
I've got a top five. I need a top five.
Top five. One, two, three, four, five.
Rich's top five.
Oh, baby.
And it is top five teams that should trade for Devontae Adams.
Okay.
Or if you're taking this in later, and when he doesn't get traded and he's still on the Raiders, top five teams that should have traded for Devontae Adams. Here we go. Number five. It's simple. He misses his boy, Blue. Put him back together, old school style. The New Orleans Saints should go out and get him. Oh. Put him back together with Derek Carr.
Nice.
I mean, because that's part of, and he won't say this, you know, he said that it was good for Derek Carr to go to somewhere else. In our conversation on Friday, Devontae Adams said that. And, you know, he won't sit there and say he was baited and switched by the Raiders, because maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But he goes to the Raiders in part to go play with Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr is three straight games with 300 yards passing for a 4-4 team. He's sitting on a 3-5 team that started three different quarterbacks for him. And the one guy who's the only guy who's thrown him a touchdown pass this year airmailed him twice for touchdowns. So send him to New Orleans, which, by the way, could use him significantly. Olave can't guard Mike, can't guard Devontae.
Ooh, oh, baby.
With Alvin Kamara in the backfield and Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill. That would certainly send a jolt into the Saints' abilities to win their division, which is highly winnable. The Saints should go for it.
Some pressure off their defense.
Number four, sir, your team. Get the Dallas Cowboys on the horn.
Agree.
And see what the Dallas Cowboys can do to go get Dallas.
I like that.
Even better for Dak and Mike McCarthy.
Agree.
And you got Devontae and CeeDee Lamb. One particular moment, CeeDee's in the slot. Adams is out wide. Next particular moment, Adams is in the slot. CeeDee Lamb's out wide. You put him on both sides of the field. You could do whatever the hell you want with these stellar players. And this is a way to send a jolt into the NFC. And you do it now. So you put him on the field against the Philadelphia Eagles and A.J. Brown. You do it right now.
Like that.
That's number four on the list. Number three on the list. You know what? They did it last year where they went ahead and got some serious juice right before the trade deadline. And they became Niners plus. Let's get Niners plus plus and send Devontae Adams back to the Bay Area.
Oh, no. Man.
Big
that
time.
Is not fair.
He wants like to go closer to Fresno. Send him to the Bay Area. Go for it.
Giving Sam Darnold some weapons.
And nice. Good one. Honestly, you want to see some extra jolt right here in the 49ers? Just say, screw it. It worked last year. We almost got to the Super Bowl. Let's get Devontae Adams on the field with Debo and Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and Kittle.
That's not
and
fair.
See who's going to keep up with that. That's Niners plus plus. Number two, I don't think this is ever going to happen because, you know, I don't know how many times Al Davis would roll over in his grave, but he would start spinning to the point where it probably could create enough energy to light up Oakland and Los Angeles, the two cities that he had the Raiders in.
Uh-oh.
But the Chiefs should go out and get him. I don't know how in the hell. I mean, whatever the price for Devontae Adams is from the Raiders, it would be 2X.
Yep.
But Brett Veach, you want to give a jolt to this offense that clearly needs it. Let's call it as we see it. But Devontae Adams, put him on a plane to Frankfurt, Germany later this week to take on the Dolphins and get that guy out wide and in the slot for Mahomes. How about having Kelce and Devontae Adams on the same side of the field split out? How about that?
How do you stop that?
You don't.
No.
You do not. And the Chiefs should do it. But number one on this list, this would be a seismic event that would just go ahead and take this team's offense that appears to be performing very well because they lead the league right now in point differential. Believe it or not, the Baltimore Ravens should go out and get Devontae Adams and bring him to the same team as Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews and that running game and that defense. You would see the Ravens vault straight to the top of Super Bowl favorites. Lickety split for them to go ahead and get Devontae Adams. That is the number one team. Give Devontae to Lamar and Lamar to Devontae and see him do his thing in Baltimore with that defense, that run game, that coaching staff. It would be epic. Certainly if it appears Derrick Henry's not going anywhere. Top five teams that should trade for or should have traded for Devontae Adams.
Do you think we need one more?
I'll do it.
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
I don't know how happy this would make him, and I don't know what this would do for 2023. This would be a move for the future. But get him back in Green Bay. Get him back in Green Bay.
Hmm.
See if does Gutekunst still have the receipt for that trade? Like he's like looking in the drawer for the receipt. You know,
what's
the expiration date on it? Can we reverse the charges, to use a long time ago telephone phrase? Jordan Love, you know who you miss? The guy who was there for Rodgers. That's who you miss. Get him back. See what the Packers can do to just call up the Raiders and get him right now. And the Raiders, out of everything that I just said, they don't want to send him in anywhere in the conference, let alone in division. Like the Saints and the Cowboys and Niners could say, you only see him one more time over the next 4 years. See if the Packers want him back. Obviously, so many teams should trade for him and or should have traded for him. But that's my list. Top five teams.
Nice.
In regards to Davante Adams.
Good job, Rich.
Rich, I'll be honest. I'm surprised you didn't put the Jets on.
You know what I was going to say?
I got you, but I didn't put them on there because they've got their own 17 right now.
Couldn't hurt to have another one, though.
I got it. I just think, you know, and getting him back for Rodgers for next year.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't put him on there just because I don't particularly feel that it's a realistic option, you know?
Yeah.
And I know the Chiefs are not a realistic option either. Truly, Al Davis might come back from the dead. It is Halloween. Like, he might truly come back from the dead just as the ghost above Mark's bed and just say, son, you are officially disowned. From the dead, you are disowned. I'm suing you. from the dead.
Right.
You know,
the team is now Tom Brady's.
Honestly.
We'll have to ask Amy what she thinks Al would have thought.
So, yeah, well, that'll be on What the Football later on. Susie Schuster, Amy Trask have Howie Long on today. You know, and we kind of set it up like that. They set it up like that because we knew we'd be coming off of a Monday night game with the Raiders involved. But I didn't think they'd be 3-5. Didn't think Davante Adams would have only one catch for 11 yards.
Crazy.
And have two wide open, one even for 98 yards that got disconnected. But that's my two cents. We'll talk about the Lions still to come. Obviously, the James Harden trade is significant news that we all woke up to here on the left coast. James Harden's making his way to Los Angeles to play for the Clippers with Kawhi, with Paul George, with Russell Westbrook, like it's back in the day in Oklahoma City, you know, with Terrence Mann, I guess, when he comes back. And then who else is on the team? Anybody else on the team? Are they looking around?
The four of us are coming off the bench.
Is that how we're going to fill out the roster?
There's a player in the trade. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. That fill has not gotten any type of recognition in this deal, and I think can play a big part. And I guess we'll get to that.
Jim Jackson's going to join us. He calls Clippers games here locally in hour number three. Albert Breer in hour number two, because there's been a trade involved with the Chicago Bears, and they're not selling, they're buying. Oh. So that's a good one. And then what are the Cardinals doing with Clayton Tune or Kyler Murray? It's not Joshua Dobbs now starting for them this week. What in the world are they up to? Dan Orlovsky is going to join us in about 15 minutes time because, well, on the other side of the break, I'll tell you one of the reasons why, because we're going to be working together this weekend. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Don't go anywhere here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, I'm going to discuss this. It's a delicate subject, but I'll still bring it up because we talk about a lot of stuff on this program. Chris, you wearing that costume out and about for trick or treating later?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, I'll just flat out ask since I just saw the full scope of your. It's a full body costume. It's very impressive.
It's a full body spandex, so, which I was not prepared for.
Correct. So let me ask you this: you're gonna put shorts on in public later over this costume?
Over it?
Yep.
I don't know, man.
Well, you gotta have something, but because to use the Seinfeld phrase, there's a slight bit of
bag of
material
grapes
between the rest of us and you. And I'm just saying there may be some laws against it in the valley where you're going trick or treating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might be able to work.
I would suggest a pair of shorts or layering.
Yeah.
Understood.
My spidey sense is picking up the need of a cod piece, sir.
I mean, what were you looking?
Just saying. If I'm not mistaken, you held your ear pack down there, like as a fig leaf, as you're walking around the studio. Am I wrong? Did I pick up on all of that stuff?
He's modest.
Yeah.
Your spidey sense was on with that one, Rich.
Dude. Do us all a favor in Los Angeles later on, okay? Because that's more of a trick. Okay?
Something called a treat, though.
No,
I didn't think this all the way through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't think it through.
I didn't think it all the way through.
There's a lot through. It's a lot coming through. I'm just saying.
Now you're giving them a lot of credit when you say there's a lot
just
coming through.
Just guys, let's just leave it at that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just had a great conversation in our Roku segment. Just saying.
You think Roku Joe's like, what the heck's going on?
He's like, no. He's like, now I understand why this is an Emmy-nominated program three times over.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Simple question here on trade deadline day. Who's going to make a move in order to improve their standing to win a championship right now? Because that's what trade deadline is. Those who are selling are essentially saying, you know what? Don't know if this is our year, but we need to start gathering picks and creating salary cap space for next year so we can win significantly for the next year. That's what they're, you know, that's what the sellers are doing. And the buyers are like, hey, we're going to go ahead and we're going to try and win now. The Leonard Williams trade yesterday by the Seattle Seahawks. We were live on the air talking about the Seahawks with one of our listeners bringing up the Seahawks defense and how good they are. In the middle of that conversation, we found out that John Schneider, the general manager, terrific general manager of the Seahawks, flipped a second round pick to the New York Giants. I think it was a 2 and a 5 to the Giants, right? For Leonard Williams. So, and it's just like, way to go. That's not one of those that's going to be just bright, shining lights all over it because it's not a fantasy type trade and it's not a trade that's going to maybe help fantasy teams unless you have the Seahawks defense. It's one of those trades where it's kind of under the radar because Seattle's doing it. And two, it's a defensive tackle, but he's terrific. and exactly what the Seahawks need and can use, and they got him. Well done. It was great. That's the type of trade that happens, right? Yeah. So, simple question. What the hell are the Chicago Bears doing?
Kind of an evergreen question of the last year or so.
We had Daniel Jeremiah on yesterday's show. He had just called locally here for the Chargers radio network, Chargers versus Bears on Sunday Night Football. He said the Bears are so bad roster-wise that they're 10 players away from being 10 players away. That's how he said it. So I guess it makes sense if you're getting players, significant players in, and the Chicago Bears just did that. They flipped a second-round choice to the Washington Commanders for Montez Sweat.
Wow.
Who is outstanding.
Heavily coveted.
He is in a walk year, so I guess they're going to have to basically sit him. Maybe they did also connect with him if they had the ability to connect with him and say, would you be willing to stay here long term? Chicago's money, the McCaskey money, still works as well as any other money that's doled out in checks by NFL ownership to players. But, and also, I guess the Commanders, they figure we've got players to just flip. So, less for the dust up to come in the direction of anybody playing the Washington Commanders. For this week, it's the New England Patriots. I'm sure Belichick's like, okay, we don't have to plan for Montez Sweat. Sweet. Let's go back into that drawing room.
Cool.
Okay, Bill O'Brien. Hey, Bill, guess who's not playing against us this week? His name's Montez Sweat. And O'Brien's like, okay.
What was O'Brien like?
Okay.
Okay.
Nice. Well done, little Jon Snow. Oh, gosh. Is this going to happen all 3 hours?
I won't, because I don't want to annoy you, but yeah. I'll try not to.
I wanted that.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. So here's what I'm thinking the Bears and Ryan Poles are thinking, is that next year's draft, they're sitting there on the clock.
Number two, number three.
Second round choice. Montez Sweat is not available. That, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
You,
point,
and
yeah.
that they're not choosing somebody in the second round like Montez Sweat. They're also not going to pay somebody that you choose in the second round like right. Montez Sweat. But you can get Montez Sweat now for a second rounder. You go ahead and get him now. You get him in your system. You get him up to speed. So you hit the ground running in 2024 significantly. But if you're Montez Sweat, you're going from, you know, Washington, which is in the mix for a playoff spot, to a team that's essentially not. And that's not great when you're trying to win championships or put a ring on your finger. So the Bears take a risk here at this point in time. As we're talking, you trade draft capital in next year's draft for a player that may not be around next year. Could just say, see you later. And then your second round pick reverts to a third for a compensation pick, a compensatory pick. So you're giving up a two for a three to have Montez Sweat come and be in your building so you can convince him that the amount of money you're willing to pay him is worth him staying. And at the meantime, all you put it all together, and you know, if you're paying him, you're going to be paying him a ton of money. Why wouldn't you pay Roquan Smith when you had him? Yeah, like, that's the difference. Like, honestly.
Superstar middle, you know, linebacker?
Oh, my God.
You're the Chicago Bears?
Who, by the way, right, you're the Chicago Bears, and you trade him to another organization that covets that position based on its history and right. scheme. You know, the Ravens are like, sure, we'll take him. So that's the whole thing. Is like, so you're willing to pay Sweat maybe double what you're paying Smith. I guess you value that position more than you would Roquan. It's yes. just, it's confusing. It's confusing to me. And, but so, and if there's anybody out there who could have used Sweat, what you're coveting that second round pick? I don't get it. It's a crapshoot. These kids are all a crapshoot. And I know that's promise. And, you know, you reset the clock and helps with the salary cap to have these kids. And if you hit on a second round pick who can start winning for you on the spot, that's a win. I get it, but you know, but you can have Montez Sweat now and maybe win a championship now because you have him. Same thing with Leonard Williams. How about that? So that's the position that's going fast right here. Defensive line. Sack the quarterback. We'll try to not do that when Dan Orlovsky joins us next. From the worldwide leader in sports, the reason why we're having Dan on, not just because he's outstanding, but he will be in the booth with me on Sunday in Frankfurt, Germany, the booth on NFL Network calling Chiefs Dolphins. It's yours truly, Dan Orlovsky, Jason McCourty of Good Morning Football. So let's talk about this big game on Sunday and everything else with Dan Orlovsky of the worldwide leader in sports next.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
So are you regretting your choice right now of your costume? Did I hear that in the commercial break here?
Let me put the mask back on. Here's the problem, Rich.
Are you regretting this?
I'm not regretting it because it's a great costume.
It is, right.
Not that I look super great in the full body spandex.
Again, like I said in the previous segment, if you are going to be out in public with children, ringing doorbell, asking for candy, put some shorts on, sir.
I think some sort of underwear situation is probably key in this scenario.
Well, layers. Think layers.
But purely for work purposes,
yeah,
I can't really move the mouse pad with the gloves.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so I think I'm going to have to take this off soon.
Okay.
Just so I can perform my Rich Eisen Show daily in-show duties.
You know what? You're a professional.
You know what I mean?
You look like a professional.
You know what I'll do? Here's what I think I'll do.
What are you doing?
I'll probably keep the mask on.
Okay.
And then take the rest of it off.
So that's just, then so, you'll look like the gimp.
Well, that's you know? True. That's true. I don't want
then
that.
Then you walk
either.
Around like the gimp.
I definitely don't want that either.
But just again, like I said, layers, sir. We don't want people in the great San Fernando Valley wondering if that's a $100,000 bar or you're just glad to see them. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness gracious.
I can't play this drop. I want to play this.
No, I mean, honestly.
I want to play this drop so bad. I can't play it.
Turn on your microphone, little John Snow.
I was just talking, yeah.
What the hell is happening?
Little John Snow is really funny.
It is, because he's the king of the South. He's got a Falcon. Whose Falcons jersey are you rocking today?
Steve Bartkowski.
Why do you have a Steve Bartkowski jersey?
Because he's Little John Snow.
Yeah.
He's the king of the South.
Remember, I was the king of the jerseys.
You guys are really bringing it today. Well done.
Thanks, Rich.
And again, Del Tufo showing up as a guy who wears swag. He's swag man, wearing only stuff that... Man. Great, I love it.
Swagless,
back
man.
On the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I cannot wait to call this game on NFL Network, NFL Plus as well, if you want to stream it. It is, quite simply, one of the games of the year. The Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs, both of them 6-2 coming into this football game. And it is awesome, with the exception of Nick Bolton, handful of other players on the Miami Dolphins not going to be there. But Tua is healthy. Mahomes will hopefully be done with the flu. Kelsey, healthy. You've got Tyreek Hill, Waddle, healthy. Let's go. And joining us, Taylor Swift might be in the building. Healthy. Or whatever. Yeah, okay, yeah. She's healthy. She's questionable for the game. Who knows? But what is not questionable is my excitement to call this game and who I'm calling it with, because on loan from the worldwide leader in sports in this booth, along with me and Jason McCourty of Good Morning Football, will be Dan Orlovsky joining us here on the program. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great, man. I share the same excitement, probably a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've been such a fan of yours. I mean, for years, you know, years. I grew up in Connecticut, so we grew up on ESPN here.
That's right, Dan.
Well, and then obviously Patrick and Tua. I've loved both those players for many years. Tua go back to college, and I know the weight of this game, and I know the the cross sharing of networks isn't necessarily something that has happened a ton. So I'm fired up, man. I'm beyond excited.
Me too. Me too. Let's just jump into it. Your first blush analysis of what this matchup is and how these teams do match up would be what, Dan? What do you got for me?
Yeah, first of all, it's strategic brilliance versus strategic brilliance. And when I say that, I think Mike McDaniel versus Steve Spagnuolo jumps to mind. You know, Steve Spagnuolo is one of the, who's the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, one of the best big game defensive coordinators we've had in the NFL in the last 10 or 15 years, if we're being honest. And, you know, the Chiefs look differently this year because they're being led by their defense. It's one of the best defenses in football. And it'll be interesting because they've really built it on playing a ton of man coverage. Their young secondary is really good. They try to beat you up at the line of scrimmage and they try to get some of their pass rushers going and it's working. And then you're going to Miami and Mike McDaniel, who has revolutionized a little bit in NFL football with the speed motions and snapping the ball with some of the motions that go inside out and the way that he attacks. You know, it's funny because I don't think the Dolphins run these, they don't have 1,000 plays. You know, what the Dolphins do is they take these plays that are really good at, and there's 6 or 8 or 10 of them, and they just present them in tens and tens of different of ways, hundreds of different of ways. And so you got this wildly creative coach who's perfect for the quarterback and the speed they have in offense. And they've absolutely gutted man coverage this year. And then we have this wildly creative defensive mind, and they've been unbelievable playing man coverage this year. And it's like, okay, who's the curveball? Who throws the curveball? Who wins out? Who gets? Who kind of is the step ahead? That's the first one for me. It's like, man, this is going to be awesome.
Just strength against strength, huh? Like on that.
Yeah.
And then how about the Chiefs offense against the Dolphins defense? Jalen Ramsey comes back. And and picks one off. You've got Xavier Howard, you know, coming back from an injury himself. You've got this Chiefs offense coming off of, let's be honest, maybe Mahomes' worst game in a very long time. Certainly in division on the road, that's never happened to him. So what's your first blush analysis on that front, Dan?
Yeah, the Chiefs offense, I have about as little concern as I've ever had about their offense. I think so. When it comes to Sunday, they have a game every year like this. They just do. Yep. And I overreacted to it 2 years ago, the Tennessee game. You know, if you remember 2 years ago, they played on the road at Tennessee. They played like junk. Patrick was terrible. And I was going, oh my gosh, maybe the sauce is gone. Well, relax. And then last year, Indianapolis on the road, they don't play good. They don't show up. It's almost like they're sleepwalking. And obviously this past weekend, here's the facts of the game, Rich. Quarterback has the flu, bad weather, there's drops in the game. And second time they've played that team in 3 weeks, okay? So those are the facts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to ask me, because everyone's like, Kansas City needs to go to get another receiver, this and that, I no longer feel that way. Beginning of the season, I was like, who's going to be that number two wideout behind MVS? I still think Rashee Rice has done a nice job. Mecole Hardman's going to be fine. I think Justin Watson's a really important person for their pass game. I have two things for their offense that I sit there and I go, it'll be shown this weekend a little bit, or at least they're going to have to answer some questions. And I don't want to call it concerns, but has my attention. The tackle is an issue. The tackles are an issue. You know, right tackle Taylor and the left tackle, the penalties, they're not playing nearly as well as like an Orlando Brown for them did there. And I said this on NFL Live the other day, Rich. The one name that we have not said enough about this year with Kansas City is Isaiah Pacheco.
Yep.
We just haven't said his name enough. They are not running the football nearly as efficiently as they were last year. That was the thing that they did last year that helped them overcome the loss of Tyreek. They haven't done that this year. So I want to see if they can do it against Miami, whose run defense has been better the past 2 weeks. And then Jalen coming back, you mentioned the pick. He actually had a forced fumble as well. Vic Fangio and, you know, how he's going to handle this defense that, you know, he's had some good moments versus Patrick and bad. Wilkins is playing great. Phillips is playing great. So that'll be another really good matchup.
Very fired up. I am so pumped for this, Dan. It is going to be great. The atmosphere in Frankfurt, Germany. The Germans really know this game and they love this game, and the international atmosphere is going to be lit. I can't wait to get in the booth with you and Jason McCourty, Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the Raiders. What is wrong there? What is up with them, Dan?
Yeah. Last year it was the defense. The defense did not play well. Can't say that this year. That defense has actually been a solid unit. The offense is the problem this year. And we could sit here and point to the quarterbacks and, you know, because of some of the injuries and whatnot. It's I get like super intrigued by Josh McDaniels because I was such a massive fan of his in New England. I thought like the matchups that he would create and the formations he would get in and out of. And there was just this really cool, it almost felt like steps ahead of defenses. And I watched them play now. I'm like, you guys feel steps behind on defenses. They're one of the teams in the NFL that right now get into 21 personnel. We're going to talk about this a ton with Miami, 21, two backs and one tight end. And they don't use it to create matchups. They get into 21 personnel to do like old school run game stuff. If that's your identity right now, like that's an identity of theirs. It's not a changeup. It's not a curveball. It's kind of who they are. I feel like I'm watching 1995 ball too much with them. And I'm not saying I'm like the smartest person. I can find ways to get Devontae Adams to football. I 100% can find ways to get him to football. I watch these teams every week do it with other receivers. I'm watching the Cowboys do it with CeeDee Lamb. I watched the other day Cincinnati do it with Ja'Marr Chase. I watch the New Orleans Saints do it with Michael Thomas, and I'm sitting there going, we can't get Devontae the ball. And it's crazy to think that player is being wasted with the Raiders right now, completely wasted, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel for it. There's no like, hey, we're going to have the first pick, so we'll get Caleb Williams or Drake May. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. So I find it. I know Shefty has said, and I'm sure other insiders have said, like, they're adamant they're not trading him. It makes no sense to me. Why not? It hasn't worked. Whatever the reason is, it hasn't. And you might as well try to recoup some of the value.
Well, but it's not the quarterback? Because, again, Derek Carr, you know, did have those two picks in Pittsburgh that was the final nail in the coffin on that Christmas Eve night game that we had on NFL Network as well. But, you know, and that's what Adams has got to be like, okay, so Carr couldn't work here, but this is what the other option is right now. So you put it on the scheme and the play caller right now, Dan, if you have to put it anywhere.
I can't – coming off of last night, obviously, there's two 150-yard touchdowns that are just blatantly missed by Jimmy. You know, so, like, I can't sit here and say it's all Josh McDaniels. But the body of work over this year certainly has to be a little bit attributed to it, a little bit. And then certainly the quarterback play has not been good this year, you know, for Jimmy or you know, when Brian was in there. And I know Aiden O'Connell got some time. So it's – absolutely part of that conversation. But I sit there and I go, even if the quarterback is X, there's more creative ways where you can just get Devontae the ball, right? Like just get him the ball and get it into his hands. I see perimeter screens up and down the NFL every week. So that's not necessarily happening much. They're not creating a ton of ISO opportunities for him. I know there was a couple last night. One gets bad and he obviously drops a third down. I don't know, Rich. I just sit there and I go, it's not the first time this, you know, Josh McDaniels had to deal with backup quarterbacks. It's just not. And so there's always contingency plans for those situations. And so I just think he's too dynamic of a player to have one catch. I really do.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you seeing out of Brock Purdy the last 3 weeks that is the outlier, or are we seeing him return to just a quarterbacking mean? Dan, what do you got for me here?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll go back to the Minnesota game. I actually thought he played well in Minnesota outside the two late interceptions, Rich. And I kind of showed this, the first interception, he just throws the ball so soon. It's the same. He completes the very same pass in that game earlier to Jennings, but it's to his right. And he throws it. And this, the overarching thing for me is what made him so intriguing and unique was he was throwing the ball so early with such rare anticipation. and not giving it away to the other team, that's what was rare. You know, can you anticipate and be accurate? And he was doing that. That is a rare trait. And so he was, and it was marvelous to see. If you remember, close your eyes and think of that big in route he threw to Debo against the Dallas Cowboys. Like, that's the perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so go back to the Minnesota game, and he throws one to Juwan Jennings on an in, like a little bit of a post in, and it's thrown so crazy early. You're like, my gosh, that's beautiful. He does the same thing later in the game, and he just misses it because he throws it so early. I think the thing with him is this, the concerning thing that for Kyle Shanahan has to be that over the last 3 weeks, there's been too many passes that have been touched by the defense, whether they've all been intercepted or some have been tipped away. Like Logan Wilson dropped one the other day on almost the same one he caught the other day. So in the Pratt interception, I think that's more of a great play by Pratt than it is a, oh my gosh, Brock Purdy stinks. So they've got to kind of see some of the anticipation stuff that's happening and kind of why defenders, you know, are doing a little bit. This is kind of what happened to Tua a little bit against Buffalo and Philly is defenders are kind of early in the down, just getting to their landmarks. They're not necessarily paying attention to where he's looking. They're not paying attention to some of the underneath stuff. If the landmark tells you in cover three or cover two to get to a certain location, no matter what the quarterback is doing, get to your landmark early in the down and then drive on his eyes late in the down. And I think that's happening a little bit. I also think Lou Anarumo was unbelievable game plan wise against Kyle, you know, and I love Kyle, but Lou Anarumo, you know, outcoached in that game. So there's a medium point between, you know, kind of what we've seen out of Brock and kind of probably who he was in the first 10 or 12 games.
Yeah, I know 4-6-2 teams in the AFC, Dan, and we're calling a game. We're featuring two of them in Germany on Sunday. And it feels like the Bengals have finally arrived on the scene, though, raising their hands saying, don't forget about us, 6-2 teams. Like, that's the guy that we saw last 2 years in Burrow, and that's the defense, that's everything, right? Like, there it was in San Francisco.
And that's the scary. You know, if you're the AFC, you're going, oh my gosh, they got out of it, you know, because the injury happens and, you know, start of the season and everyone's like, oh, the Bengals are done. And you sit there and go like, I called their Monday Night Football game against the Rams, you know, Rich, and I was like, dude, they just have to find a way to get to their bye week 3-3 and get him healthy. I don't care what it looks like. I just find a way. And I think about the game against Seattle 2 weeks ago and the red zone stop that the defense makes and they get to 3-3. And you saw a couple plays. You're like, all right, he doesn't look that hurt anymore. And you're like, he gets to the bye and just go and watch out. Because you knew this is the best offensive line he's had in Cincinnati. Orlando Brown's been awesome. Okay, so like best offensive line he's had. And you know that if he just gets healthy, the 4 or 5 plays he makes a game with his legs are everything. They put him under center a little bit last week. They could not be. And Rich, that calf injury not only affected him, it affected everyone. The offensive line. I mean, you imagine how hard it is to play offensive line when everyone knows where the quarterback's going to be all the time. But he's going to be 6 yards behind the center and he's not moving. Okay. So the receivers, there's no creativity in your pass game because you have to catch and throw. So get to the bye 3-3. And we saw him under center. We saw him move. They were able to run the ball under center a little bit. And so that was big. And, you know, just talking in that Monday night game, Lou Anarumo was so high on their young secondary. He's like, they just got to get time together. And Cam Taylor-Britt and Dax Hill and DJ Turner, they just needed time together. Mike Hilton's playing awesome. That's allowed the pass rush with Hendrickson to start getting going. So they're dangerous. And their Sunday night game against Buffalo is going to be huge as well.
In the 2 minutes I have left here, Dan, how good is Lamar looking to you? Because that's the other guy, right? I know, because we are focused on Buffalo and whether Josh Allen can come through here like he was in weeks 2 through 4. But Lamar Jackson has been stellar, Dan, stellar so far this year.
It's everything that a lot of people – no, I don't want to say a lot of people. It's everything some people believe that Lamar was, and a lot of people didn't. And it was just like, just get him the people. Just get him the receivers that can actually do some of the things and just get him the offensive scheme that actually allow his – I don't want to say it's like his premier talent because his athleticism is probably still his premier talent, but his throwing ability is so rare. His – The thing for me, Rich, is his arm is so loose. It sticks so loose that he could do anything with the ball. And you're watching that. I know Baldy put up that clip of him kind of one-legged the touchdown. And
like
it's
a kick throw. That was a kick throw.
You're sitting there going, what?
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, how many guys can do that? So the precision has showed up in their pass game, the timing, he's trusting it. And again, that's something that you pair with their I think there's five teams in the AFC, Rich, really, right now. I think it's Kansas City, Miami, who obviously we're calling, and then it's Jacksonville, it's Cincinnati, and it's Baltimore. Those are the five that you sit there and go, all right, that's the cream of the crop.
You leave the Bills out, huh? You think the Bills are...
I love Buffalo. I love Buffalo. My concern is that the injuries on defense, and that's not fun to say, but...
It's true.
You don't replace Milano and Tredavious and Daquan Jones. You just don't. I want to see if they're active before 4 o'clock Eastern time today with this trade deadline. You know, there's rumors about Surtain and Denver being available. You got to call. It's the injuries that concern me.
Dan, I'm really fired up again to work with you and be in that booth with you. And also to, as we discussed on our first Zoom together as a group, see in person your eating habits, Dan. They are stuff of legend. And I, you know, if you like breaded chicken, there's schnitzel. I think there's good. That do you like breaded chicken? Are you into that or no?
So I love chicken cutlets. I don't know if that's the same thing as schnitzel.
It's a basic. Will you tell him, Spidey?
Hey, look, Spider-Man here, Dan. Schnitzel is so delicious.
Yeah,
you're going to love it.
You're good.
Trust me.
You're good. You're going to love it.
If I get schnitzel, which is a chicken cutlet,
yes,
and pretzels, I'll be in a tremendous place.
Done.
Rip the knob off, Dan. You're good. I can't
Spider-Man,
wait.
Spider-Man, you're the best.
Take care of yourself, Dan.
Hold on, Dan.
Oh, no, stop. Bam. Don't feed the animals here.
Oh, wow.
I know, kind of
like an intimidating Spider-Man. Rich, I'll see you.
I'll see you
tomorrow night. I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, see you in a couple days. Thanks again, Dan. I'm fired up for it. You take care.
Yes, sir, bud.
Yeah, the man himself, Dan Orlovsky, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It'll be him and Jason McCourty to my right on NFL Network on Sunday in the booth in Germany. I am concerned about the Bills defense too. I watched both Daquan Jones and Matt Milano go down on that day in London, and they still almost beat the Jaguars. But if you keep taking these guys away, but they held Baker Mayfield to just two scores, just one score really. Well, two scores until the very end. That 9 minute drive wound up with a touchdown that went off of one of their own players' helmets. But there you go. You got 2-6-2 teams facing each other off, Miami and Kansas City. You got Jacksonville on a bye week. You got the Ravens hosting the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. And then you got the Bills against the Bengals. The AFC is going to have a heck of a jumbled photograph and picture in week number 9. It's awesome. Albert Breer will join us in 5 minutes to tell us what is going on with the trade deadline and what in the world are the Arizona Cardinals up to with their quarterbacks and so much more. Jim Jackson in hour 3 about the James Harden trade. Good stuff here on a busy Tuesday. Still here on the Roku channel, everybody. That's going to be fun. Watching Dan Orlovsky eat just schnitzel and pretzels, by the way. And then he's like real thin. What is he got? The metabolism of a bunny rabbit? What is it?
He's also really, really tall. He's much taller than you think in person.
Oh, he's like 6'5",
yeah.
Is he that tall?
He's pretty tall.
He's pretty tall.
No, I've been around him. He's like 6'3".
And he's real thin.
I know.
Real thin. Not like his playing day weight.
Oh, I should have brought up that he shouldn't wear those skin-colored pants.
Ooh.
Leave those home.
Definitely thought he was having
a bottomless
party.
Honestly. Yeah, I know.
Not good.
But those pants would still be better than what you have on right now, sir.
I agree.
Okay. Spidey, honestly, save the people of the San Fernando Valley from... I mean...
Spider-Man.
Wow. Spider-Man. I actually think I am going to change for the rest of the show.
No. Fine. I think
I've committed to the bit.
It's fine. Yeah,
I got some
done
pictures
enough.
For Cage.
Don't worry. It's great, but...
I need to get some work done.
Lil Jon Snow will take the rest of the way for the
yeah, yeah. And I need to
crew.
Get some work done, so I can't type.
Where'd you get the goblet and the sword? I knew it was going to happen.
My teeth. My buddy.
I knew it was going to happen.
My boy Nate, he's the manager of a place called the Hand Prop Room.
Okay.
Big movie
oh, you got the teeth
house,
prop room.
Color and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, okay.
What? Okay.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azerrad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.